very few things about what he has done. He was first known as an architect. He was the assistant of the Le Corbusier, and especially he helped him to work for the Philips Pavilion in the exposition of Brussels, 1958. So his training was basically the one of an architect. And he came to music later, studied with Messiaen especially, and showed rather early a kind of very unconventional way of approaching music. Not especially, as a matter of fact, in using instruments in a very different ways. So he used practically also normal instruments. At the beginning, he was not terribly interested in electronic music. After, he was. But at the beginning, his use of instruments was in a rather conventional frame, let's say. But what he was doing with these instruments was not terribly conventional, because he brought into music a kind of research which was maybe not done before, and he was not extremely tied with in his education as well as later with, for instance, either Stravinsky or Bartok or the Vienna School. He has quite an independent way of thinking, which was based mainly on mathematical concepts. And he exposed that in, he just wrote about it quite at length in various books, which are published also in English. His mainly, his concern was to introduce new concepts and new methods of thinking in music based on mathematical concepts enlarged to a point where they could produce music. And later, he was involved also in using computers, especially for writing his music, not music which was produced by any electronic way of tone producing, but mainly just he had programs transcribed from numeral digits, programs transferred to tone pitches and all characteristics of music. He was the first to do that quite a long time ago, as I mean around 1960-62 approximately. He was tied especially with IBM, which gave him the opportunity of working with computers. So you will see that even if he's working with quite a classical group, he's not at all working in a classical way. And he's not interested at all in themes, thematic or motives, or whatever you can imagine of this kind, which is relevant to more or less our tradition. But he's much more concerned with finding textures in music, and all the piece you will hear this evening is mainly concerned by a change of texture. There are many ways of using instruments, and maybe as a composer is not satisfied with what instruments can produce, let's say, normally, quote-unquote. So therefore, he likes much more to use possibilities of instruments which are practically beyond the instruments and which use all these possibilities which are generally used as side effects, but here which become the main center of the writing. You will find especially long static ways of composing music. The pitch don't change at all or don't change characteristically. That's very few intervals or very few change in the texture of the intervals. But the way of playing and the way of producing interferences between various tones is much more important than the tones themselves which are produced. Also, for instance, he used very much a kind of texture with glissandos. He has explained, for instance, once he has written a piece, not this one, I must say, but another one, which is based on exactly the same calculations as his calculations for the Philips Pavilion, using exactly the same curves for instruments. And he transcribes these curves exactly in glissandos, literally, I might say, in glissandis. So there is a lot of texture in this music, which constitute also the big form of the music, and that's the change of this texture, which is he gave very unconventional names, like, for instance, in French, en rafale, or irregular pizzicato, or irregular staccato, which is a kind of statistic effect, much more than something very precise to hear. So I would like to give also very precise examples of this change of texture from the very simple one, which is based on one single tone for all instruments, to a very complex and impossible to analyze, another one with which we will finish, which is based, on the contrary, on pure noise and absolutely unpredictable noises produced by the instruments. So I will give you now also some examples of different textures. First, I will give you the most simple example of a single tone, but which is going from an instrument to another one, and with different type of sonorities, which go from the pure non-vibrato tone to the tone with tremolo. And therefore, we take for that in the score bar 46 to 60. The material is very simple. You hear just only one note, only with various colors. Now, on the contrary, I would like to give you a chord, which is no more a chord, but which is a kind of variation on a noise, a mixture of noise and pitch, and which takes place at the very end of the score. Therefore, we will play now the bar 310 to 315. You hear clearly the various pitches, precise pitches of instruments, but the way of playing them is mixing this pitch with incidental noises. You have also some other kind of texture, which are absolutely static, but with various accents, and you hear them as an whole, but not as individual parts. And therefore, we will give also an example of this static texture, which is to be found bar 123 to 142. So you have the same chord, only each time with different type of articulations in various instruments, which bring this variety and this variation in the sonority itself. Now you have another kind of extreme situation when you have, of course, pitches which are written, but the instrumentalist improvise sequences ad libitum during this time. So you will see, for those who see me now, you will see I just give downbeats to avoid any kind of interferences between myself and the instrumentalist, and they have just the pitches fixed, and they can improvise on these pitches. Therefore, we'll give now the bar 185 to 194. So progressively, you have heard that in the high register, all the violins especially, are changing pitch. But you are not really struck by that. You are much more struck by the fact that these absolutely chaotic figures are played. And in between, when you are at the end of the 10 bars, you can recognize that the pitch have completely changed. So there is one phenomenon which masks another one. But sometimes this type of structure is not changing so continuously, but on the contrary, he uses the glissando as a medium itself to promote a type of figure. Therefore, now we will perform to you two examples of this structure, which is a glissando, which is to be found at the very beginning of this score, bar 1 to 9. And one glissando is very loud, and of course you hear the glissando very obviously, and the other one, the next one immediately, a couple of bars after, is very soft, so you don't hear any more a pitch, but you hear a kind of also glissando effect, more than a kind of real pitch. So you hear that as a block, much more as individual voices, and that's conceived like that. You have not to hear really individual voices, but just a block, a statistic block of sonorities. And now it goes until, I told you, until the noise, because he uses the instrument not only as such, as an instrument which produces absolute pitches, but also an instrument which is able to produce noises absolutely unpredictable. And therefore, we will finish also this sequence of examples by giving to you the bar 272 to 282. Out of the context, of course, that seems rather just, you know, coarse. But in the context itself, you will see that's alternating with other structures. You cannot isolate, of course, these bars.